seen the shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond. This is the Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here. And I think you'll be delighted as well. I'm here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Because you matter, we have ways for you to get in touch with me. And I want you to get in touch with me. Lots of you do. Over on the radio side, they just heard something weird. I don't know why they just heard that. A weird thing. Anyway, we have ways for you to get in touch with me, and we have something called the contact page. And, the reason we have that, you know, I like you, I don't particularly like using a contact page. I would rather just use my regular email program and just send email. But the problem with that is that we get so much spam mail. In a 24-hour period, I think the most we have gotten was just over 9,000. But it's not uncommon for us to get like 2,000 or 3,000 emails, sometimes 5, and that one time 9 in a 24-hour period. It's almost all spam. The show's been on the air now for, in May the 11th, we will celebrate our 13th anniversary, so that would be we'll be starting our 14th year. And for most of that time, I've had the email address that we use, still use it. And so every spammer in the world has that email address. And out of the 2,000 or 3,000, there may be anywhere from 50 to 120, 150 that are real emails to us. Now, if I had to go through and read every one of these things to see, you know, what's real and what isn't, there's no way. It just couldn't happen, and I would never see your email. So we've devised the contact page in such a way that it will get through the spam filters that we use. We use some really vigorous spam filters. But the contact page will get you through those. And so if you use that, I will see your email. There's no way I can respond to all of them, but I respond to as many as I can. And, but I will see it, okay? And we've done that not to keep you from contacting me, but to make it possible to be sure you can contact me. And so please do that, because you do matter, and we do want to hear from you. So reach out and touch. All right. If you have a suggestion, click on the contact page and then click suggest. You know, like if you want me to look at a video, or you have a page you want me to check out, or if you have a guest you want to suggest. Now, that's another thing. You know, we have as many of those as we can on the show. Can't have them all, but when you suggest a show, we try to get to that. All right, we're going to step away for a break, and when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about some really strange stuff. All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Before we get into tonight's subject, we have a little bit of housekeeping we need to do, a few things I need to tell you about, and then we'll jump right in to a discussion of solar mystery structures? First of all, I didn't get to it at the top of the show, so let me remind you, if you are not getting our K-Files, our newsletter, it's absolutely free. There's no reason to not be getting it. It's a good one. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It's free, no strings attached. I mean, it's not one of those deals where, recommend us to five of your friends and then you get it free or something. We want you to recommend us. But free is free. Okay? So it's just free. And get over to my website, and right in the middle of the screen, you'll see big letters that say K-Files. Just click that. And once you click it, you'll be able to subscribe. You will get an automatic email with a link in it that you have to click in order to activate your subscription. Also, member subscriptions will reopen again on Monday. I've wrapped up what I've been doing, the little workaround I've been doing because, never mind. But I've wrapped that up, and it appears that it's working okay, and we'll continue to test it tomorrow and Saturday, and then on Monday it'll be reopened. And so those of you who have been emailing me saying, hey, I'm trying to join, but I can't join because you've got your subscriptions closed down. Well, Monday's the day, all right? So get your lawn chairs and your sleeping bags and start lining up and get ready. And Monday, that will reopen. Also, I have told you both, you know, in the K-Files, and then here on the air I've talked about it as well, that it is the plan that I will be in Nashville starting next week. The show will continue. I'll still be doing the show. Now, we'll be doing it from a laptop. It'll be mobile. And so those of you who watch our TV channel, I'm not sure where we're going to be will carry the TV signal or not, but we're going to try. If it doesn't, well, it's a radio show and you'll still be able to hear, but we're going to give it a shot anyway. And I'll continue to do the show as I'm in Nashville, and hopefully it will carry the TV signal, because if it will, I can show you some shots from around Nashville and some of the things that are going on and the people that I meet and, you know, things, and we'll have a good time. But that's I'm supposed to be there next starting next week. It's not at all for sure. And if I'm not there, I'll be here in the studio, and we'll just truck on like we always do. Tomorrow night we have Richard Dolan with us as the guest, and so that's going to be interesting. He's always a fascinating guest, and he'll be with us tomorrow night. Now, at the top of the show, I talked about, you know, I want people to, I'd love to get your email, you know, I like to hear from you. And, so here's an email that I got from, someone who is starting up his own radio show. And as a matter of fact, I think by now he has started. And but he wanted to know, he said, Kevin, you've been doing this so many years. Do you ever get where you're not nervous before you go on the air? Yeah. I'm not nervous before I go on the air. I look forward to going on the air. And the reason is I get to spend this time with people who are my friends. And look, out there in the audience, there's some people who are my enemies, too, who hate me. Listening, trying to catch any little thing I say so they can make a big deal out of it. This is fun. And I get to be with people who are, like me, interested in the world of the strange and unexplained. And so his name is Ron. I'm not nervous about it. And I think it comes with how you look at it. Before I go on the air, I don't have stage fright. I'm not nervous about it. I'm bored. I'm sitting here waiting for the opening of the show, and I'm just bored waiting because I want to get on with it. And but I think it comes with how you look at it. I don't look at this as a performance. And so it's not like I have stage fright, because I'm not on stage. I'm just here talking about things I'm interested in, and some people will like it and some people won't. And obviously, I would prefer that people like it and like me, but that's not the goal. The goal is to get information out and let people make up their own minds. And along the way, in the process, I get to talk to people because people call in. And some nights, very few call. Some nights, I can't answer the calls quick enough. And so, but it's, you know, I don't know. I kind of look at it like, you know, at the end of a day when you're out camping and or you've been out hunting or whatever, and you come back to the camp and everybody's sitting around the campfire just talking. That's kind of how I look at it. And so, no, Ron, I don't get nervous. Maybe I should. I don't know. But I don't. I look at it as a very open and friendly time. All right. So let's sit around this campfire and let's talk about some stuff here tonight that I think is absolutely fascinating and mind-bending. Here on this show, for years, I have made a big point out of and a big deal out of how, you know, when scientists say, well, you couldn't have life on Venus because the atmospheric pressure is too great and the temperature is way too high and blah, 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 blah. And I've made a big deal out of that. And I've said, that's nonsense. Just because you and I cannot live on Venus doesn't mean something couldn't live on Venus. And we have things that live right here on Earth in conditions right here on this planet that will kill you. And you can't live in their environment, but they do. And if they can do it here, why couldn't it happen elsewhere? And so, you know, you've been watching or listening for a long time. And so, you know, I've made a kind of quite a deal about that. Well, what we're going to discuss tonight, as open-minded as I am, stretches my own abilities to wrap my mind around it. That may be hard for you to fathom because I'm pretty open about everything. This is difficult. This one is very difficult for me to stretch my mind around it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm saying, well, I disbelieve that. What it does, because I don't believe or disbelieve, what it does mean is that it really taxes my ability to imagine how it could be. But, nevertheless, it may be a possibility. And what are we talking about? We're talking about structures, buildings, on the sun. Our sun. I know you think I've lost my mind. You would not be incorrect. I did that many years ago, I guess. But as I say, that taxes my imagination. And yet, it may be a fact. We're going to look at some photographs. I will describe them for those who are listening. But I also want to tell you, if you're listening, where you can see these photographs. Go to UFOsightingsdaily.com. UFOsightingsdaily.com. Now, for those of you who are watching, no need to do that because I'll be putting them on the screen. The reason that it is so hard for me to imagine the possibility of this is because of the heat and the radiation. and the gravity on the sun. And, of course, it would be homo terracentric for me to say that, well, there's no water on the sun, and there's no oxygen that you could breathe on the sun. That would be homo terracentric, and homo terracentric means thinking of the universe from the standpoint of man on Earth being the center of everything we think about. And that would be homo terracentric. Not everything requires water. Not all forms of life require water. Most do, that we know about. But not all. We know about some that don't. And not all forms of life require oxygen. Most forms of life that we know about do. But not all of them. Right here on Earth, there are forms of life that are allergic to oxygen and thus allergic to water, which is H2O, oxygen. And so, but the fact is, I don't think there's water on the sun, and I don't think there's oxygen on the sun, and I know you and I are never, ever, ever going to be able to go and live on the sun without some kind of real super technology. The photographs that I'm going to share actually come from the SOHO satellite. And this system for observing the sun, two satellites, and they're loaded with cameras. One is ahead of the Earth, one's behind the Earth. And as the Earth makes its way around the sun, you always have one of the cameras pointed at the Earth side of the sun and the other camera pointed at the other side, or the other cameras pointed at the other side. And so it's a pretty good system, and they watch the sun 24 hours a day, and this is how they can predict that there's going to be a massive solar flare, there's going to be a coronal mass ejection, it's not going to hit the Earth, or it might hit the Earth, or this is how they do it, okay? This is how the scientists do it. And they have other satellites up there watching the sun as well, and they use those, and they compile all of that data together. But the SOHO system is probably, I think it's safe to say, the primary system. All right, so the first picture that we're going to look at here is a picture that this comes from SOHO. And let me, for those who are watching, zoom in. And we see the picture number, and I want to verify for you that it comes from the SOHO-LASCO Consortium. Down at the bottom of the picture, it says SOHO is a project of international cooperation between ESA and NASA. Now, over on the left side, you can see that this picture has a date on it. Unfortunately, on that picture with the date, it's a little bit hard to see. You might have to really study it. But it's 4/24/13. Or 2013/04/24. Okay. Taken at 1306 GMT time. That would be 106 Greenwich Mean Time, 106 in the afternoon Greenwich Mean Time. But that's 2013/04/24. Now, unless I have missed my calculation, that's yesterday. All right, we're going to look at one particular part of this picture. Okay, let's go back to the main picture. In what we're looking at is a picture of the sun, And because of the filters that are on the cameras, we're not just seeing a great white glare of light. Okay, so we're actually seeing, the sphere of the sun, and we see some really bright spots on the sun. And there's one that's just about, not quite, but just about dead center of the picture. And I have a little green arrow pointed to it. This picture doesn't seem to really show us much, does it? Well, let's zoom in on that spot where the green arrow was. Now, zoomed in, we can see that there is a very bright spot. Looks like there's a lot of energy swirling around that spot. And folks, to the top above it, there's a looks like a great dark cavern down into the corona, or into, I don't know, into the sun. Below it, there is a great dark spot, also looking as if it goes down into the sun. What we're going to look at is that dark spot just to the left of the bright spot. It's smaller. It's still gigantic, but it's smaller. And if you look just to the left of that bright spot, you can see it. You see a dark spot. Now, what is in that dark spot? Unless you zoom, you don't see it. But there it is. Now, to the best of my information, this was discovered in this photograph by Scott Waring, or Waring. I'm not sure how he pronounces his name. I know people who spell their name the same way that pronounce it both ways. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're going to dive off into the sun. We'll be back right after this.
line and get on life, bust down.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and discussion of some really weird pictures from the SOHO satellite taken, I believe, yesterday. And these pictures show something really, really strange on the sun. As I said, when we look into that dark spot that I pointed out, it looks like some kind of structures down there. Now, folks, I have to be honest with you. When I first looked at this, and I'm going to put the picture up that comes from UFO Sightings Daily, because what he's done is sharpened it up, and it's not as blurry as my zoom. This picture that we looked at first is my zoom, okay? And I've zoomed in on a picture. Now, the picture that's on the screen right now is from Scott's site, but from UFOSightingsDaily.com. But when I zoom in, we can see what looks like structures down in that dark area. But on his site, the zoom looks different a little bit because what he's done is he's sharpened up the picture here. Now, when I first saw this, I have to be honest with you, I thought, okay, well, that's pixelation. And then I read his description of why he says that's not pixelation. And I'm going to share that with you, all right? My mind did exactly what I warned everybody against. You know, I show you something on Titan in a picture from Titan that looks like buildings or great pipes, you know. And what I tell you, I've said it right here on the show. I've said, look, if I don't tell you that's on Titan and you think that that's just an aerial photograph from here on Earth, you would tell me that's a big pipe system. Or you would say, well, that's some kind of buildings over there on that island. But the instant I tell you it's from Titan, your mind says, oh, well, it can't be. It couldn't be that because it's Titan. And I have to confess that my mind did exactly that with this photograph from the sun. My mind said, no, it's got to be pixelation. It cannot be anything but that. It looks, for those who are listening, it looks like buildings down there. And they're big. Really big. And my mind said, that's got to be some kind of pixelation. Because why? It's the sun. Then I backed away from that. And I said, no, wait a minute. If what I say about buildings on Titan is true, you know, that we look at it and we say that's buildings until we know it's Titan, and then we back away and say, no, it can't be. The same thing with Mars. Buildings on Mars. No, it can't be. Why? Because it's Mars. And I say, that is, if you did that to people, that would be racism. And so I backed away from this and I said, now wait a minute. If that holds true for all these other things that we're looking at out across our solar system, I have to say that it holds true for this too. I can't imagine how this could be. I can't. And at the same time, I have to say, If I saw that and did not know that was on the sun, I would be saying I'm looking at some kind of big, big buildings. Since my mind is saying, yeah, that's some kind of big, big buildings, and then it wants to go ahead and say, yeah, but it can't be. Why? Because it's the sun. Since that's the case, I had to back away from that. And I had to open up my mind and say, well, let's see. So I read what he wrote about why he doesn't think this is pixelation. Now, I'm going to show why. I'm going to show two different pictures here, and I'll describe them. All right, now we're looking at the top end of that dark spot. Let me go back just for a second. Okay, so those who are watching, you can see we're looking at the top end of that dark spot. And I've got two little green arrows. Now, notice that at the tip of each of those little green arrows, the part of the structure that you're looking at is just a little bit shaded darker than the structure if you move to the right, okay? So start at the tip of the bottom arrow. And you see right at the tip of the bottom arrow, that structure appears to be a little bit darker there than it is if you move over to the right and up just a little bit. You see it's brighter. In other words, whatever kind of hole this is setting in, one side of it is slightly shaded, and parts of it are reflective, much more reflective of light. I don't think pixels do that. Now, the next picture is a little bit more dramatic, and this is the lower part of the picture, okay? You see the lower part of that dark area? Now, take a look at, I'm going to call it the structure. It is a structure of some kind, I think. That doesn't necessarily mean it's artificial, but I mean it's something that's been photographed. All right, now notice that you have areas that are brighter than other areas. And this is down in that dark hole. So you have areas that are reflecting more light because apparently getting more, and areas that are a little bit shaded. The large structure on the right sort of is shaped like airplane wings. Now don't, folks, I'm not saying there's an airplane on the sun. I'm just saying they're sort of shaped that way. Okay? So the top wing, the one that would be with the, if the airplane is pointed to the left, it's not an airplane, but if that were an airplane, it's pointed with the nose to the left, then the wing on the right is the one at the top. It's slightly shaded. The where the fuselage would be is brighter. And then we have the left wing coming down towards the bottom of the picture. That begins to be slightly shaded again. Well, whatever this is, I think I take the point, and I think I agree with the point that it's not pixels. I don't think pixels would do that. You know, pixelation and you know, dead pixels in the picture and things. I don't think it would do that. I'm not sure, though. I'm not a digital photographic expert, but I don't think pixels and dead pixels would cause that. I think you have a dead pixel, you got a black spot. Or if it's a negative, you got a white spot. And I don't think it would do the fine shading that we just observed. If you're listening to the show, you can go over to his website, UFOSightingsDaily.com. And you'll see these pictures and read his description. And I think you'll come to the same conclusion, I think you will, that it's not a function of pixels here. And there's another reason. The other reason is that if we start out with the unzoomed picture, okay, when we do, we can see that dark spot. And if you look very, very carefully, you can see there is something in that dark spot. When we zoom in just a little bit, again, we see the dark spot. And now we can more clearly see there is something down in that dark spot. When we zoom in more, we can see the something. Now, I want you to notice in the picture where he has sharpened it up, notice the thing to the top, the towards the top of this dark spot. Notice the flat surfaces on top. And notice that not all the surfaces in this picture are flat. But you have flat surfaces on the top of whatever this is. You're looking down on this from above. Okay? All right? Same thing with the structures down there at the bottom. Now, folks, the structure that I said looks like an airplane actually looks like it's got a gigantic door in it, right on the front side of it. But I don't know. I have no idea what this is. Structures on the sun. See, I can easily buy structures on the moon. I can easily understand that there are structures on Mars. I can easily understand that there are structures on a lot of planets and moons of planets around our solar system. That's not hard. I mean, it is hard for some people because they're homo terracentric. It isn't hard for me because I'm not. Generally, I am not homo terracentric, but I have to admit that when it comes to the sun, I kind of don't know which way to turn on this one. Is it possible that there are structures on the sun? I think he's correct in what he says about the pixels. I don't think this is pixelation, because even before we zoom in very much at all, we can see there is something down in that black area, that dark area. We can see it before we zoom in much. In fact, before I zoomed in at all, if you look very carefully, you can see there's something down in that dark area. But when we zoom in, see, I expected when I zoomed in, I expected what I was going to find would be like, you know, filaments of fire going across that dark spot. But that isn't what I found. What I found when I zoomed in was stuff that looks like structures, just like Scott Waring said. So, what the deuce is this? I mean, maybe... I mean, I try to stay up on stuff in our genre, and I do a pretty good job, but I can't get it all. Maybe you've heard about this and seen this, and this is old news to you. I don't know. It's brand new to me, and I don't know really what to think about what this is. And if it is structures, what could it possibly be made of, and who is there? Who did it? We're going to open the phones after we come back from this break. Don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're going to open up the telephone lines now. Folks, I got to admit, this is a mystery to me, a huge mystery. Maybe there's a simple explanation for it. Maybe it is pixels. But you read what he says about the shading and everything. And I've shown you and I've described it for you. The shading is there. And I don't think pixels do that. Huge mystery to me, but I'd like to know, what do you think about this? Is this possible? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the telephone number to call. And if you are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, then you may call that number or use an additional option we have for those who have to make international calls to get to us, because that can be expensive. The additional option is called a flash message. It's on my website. Just go over to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and then right above the picture is the link for the flash messages, okay? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Well, caller, we're not hearing you at all. I don't have any idea what the problem is. Let's try again. We heard just a syllable of a very static voice. Okay. Well, caller, we aren't hearing you. Okay, 623-444-5889. What do you think this is? What do you think it is? Do you think that it's even a possibility that there are structures on the sun? I mean, you know, you look at the pictures, and the picture seems to say yes, but, I mean, my mind says not possible. And yet, the next thing my mind says is, well, why not? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
All I'm going to say is, I don't know what kinds of life are out there. There might be something that feels perfectly comfortable on the sun. Or might think the sun is too cold. I don't know.
When I was a kid, I had a guy tell me that hell is on the sun. So, and I don't think that's correct. But if hell is on the sun, maybe that's the gates of hell we always heard about.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Does it look like buildings to you, Brent?
It looks like something. I don't know what. The fact that it's got right angles all over the place suggests something. Right angles, I'm going to see, I'll say maybe possibly structures. There are some circles in there, too, but they're a little bit too regular to be just garbage.
Okay, so you think it's something that is built?
I'll say possibly. I'll give you a 50-55% chance that it's built, because I honestly don't know.
Well, none of us really know, I don't guess. But, okay, if it's built, who built it? And I think it would even be actually appropriate for me to say, who the hell built it?
Ask James Horak. Have him call in.
Well, I hope James will call in. That would be a good source, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep. Okay, bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And I'll tell you what, I will try to see if I can get Mr. Horak on Skype, all right? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. Since Brent mentioned James Horak's name, was he one of the people that you had on recently that suggested that spacecraft are coming through the sun into our solar system?
I think he has said that on this show. I don't think in the most recent show that we talked about that. But I think he has said that.
Somebody that he had on recently, and I'm saying like within the last 2 weeks, mentioned that the spacecraft are or ETs are coming through, not spacecraft, but ETs are coming through the sun into our existence here.
Now we have, I can tell you that we have had a number of guests who have talked about that over the years, you know. But
to me that sounds it sounded a little far fetched. But then upon seeing your evidence here of something, maybe this is something that they're able to do this process of transmutation.
Yeah, so let me ask you, and by the way, I do have Mr. Horak on Skype, so we will be able to talk with him. All right, so let me ask you, now, the picture, before I zoom in a lot, can you see something in that spot?
Oh yes, definitely. You know what? I would have missed it until you pointed it out. But once you pointed it out, it sticks out.
Yeah, and then when I zoom in more, does that to you look like some kind of built things, artificial things that somebody built?
You know, it looks built, but I'm thinking that if you looked at the Grand Canyon from overhead, from miles away, that might look built too.
Well, and part of it is. There's the Temple of Isis sitting up on top of a column of stone, big, you know, and there are pyramids. They don't like for us to talk about that, and nobody ever really talks about it much, but they're out there, and we showed pictures of them here on the show.
Yeah, that was an interesting show. Getting back to this is interesting also. I like Brent, you know, and like you, we just don't know, but it does seem to be somewhat artificial. And I'm interested in seeing what Mr. Horak has to say about this.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for the call.
Thank you, Kevin.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we do have Mr. Horak on Skype. And let me see. There we go. Are you with us, James?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Okay. James, have you been watching the show tonight?
Yes, I have. I tried to call, but somehow it didn't get through.
So you're the one that I couldn't hear?
I think so.
Okay. Well, we've had two people now suggest that you might be the person to tell us. James, how the hell can there be buildings on the sun?
Well, first thing you have to realize is that you can't make presumptions on a technology that could be millions of years ahead of your own. And secondly, no, there's no better place to be if you're conducting projects, you're designing astral bodies and doing a number of other things than a source of energy and mineral wealth. And, of course, all stars are the ultimate source of all mineral wealth.
Okay, so let me ask you straight up. I just hit you right between the eyes with this. Are those structures?
Sure they are. They have to be artificial because they have a form. If they have sharp forms like this, they have duration. And at fusion temperatures, nothing can have sharp form and duration that isn't artificial.
You know, this thing looks like it has a door on the front of it.
Well, you have to realize you're looking at something larger than Earth.
That'd be a heck of a door. Maybe that's where it spits out new planets.
Oh, it...
James, can you hang on while we take a break?
Sure.
All right. All right, folks, we'll step away for a break. We'll be back to the sunshine here in just a moment.
the Pentagon. There's a stranger at the Pentagon. There's a stranger at the Pentagon. He came here to Earth from another place. Said, I want to meet your president face to face. So they took him to the Pentagon and asked him to stay. Checked out his story without delay. There's a stranger at the Pentagon. There's a stranger at the Pentagon. There's a stranger at the Pentagon. He came here with a plan for peace and war. It said, I can open up some doors. They only wanted toys for war, but they did not get them from Valley Floor. There's a stranger at the Pentagon. There's a stranger at the Pentagon.
Well, all the software's demon-possessed tonight. It's doing weird stuff. We're talking about the sun. And for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, you have my sincere sympathy for whatever kept you away from the first hour. Because, man... We're discussing some pictures from the SOHO satellite that show what appears to be structures on the sun. And that blows my mind. Our first two callers both suggested that we talk with Mr. James Horak about this. I got him on Skype, and although he's not our guest tonight, he has been my guest on many occasions and has talked a great deal about the sun and objects that we see around the sun that look like spacecraft. And so we've got him on the line, and I've asked the question, are these artificial structures? And he said, yes. James, could I get you to repeat what you said about they have to be artificial because something about fusion energy?
Yes, well, you have fusion temperatures near the surface. So if you have fusion temperatures, any kind of material, any kind of matter that we understand in terms of conventional science here on Earth would be amorphous. You'd see it as heat wave, molten, or you'd see it as plasma or whatever. It wouldn't have angular form, and it certainly wouldn't persist long enough that you could draw it in distinctly like you can here on this. So what you're looking at is structures that are artificial because they had to have had a high-level technology behind enabling them to persist in form at those temperatures. They have to be alloyed to do that. They have to be able to absorb and use energy. They have to be artifacts of a very advanced civilization.
Man, talk about free energy.
Well, that's why if you have things to do, if you want to travel to a different galaxy or to the edge of the universe, you have to have energy. And if you have a way of adapting and living in a high energy environment, you have it. You have everything that you need to do almost anything you can imagine. Let me say this. I've hinted at this before, but anything in space that has a spheroid shape has a substructure. That implies artificiality right there.
What do you mean?
This doesn't just happen. You have to explain to me how it could happen naturally. It can't. And
what do you mean it's got a substructure?
A spheroid shape.
What do you mean? What do you mean about it has a substructure?
It's made. It's designed. It's made, including the sun and other stars.
Okay.
Let me explain why they're round.
Okay.
Or spheroid. Mm-hmm. So that you have a constant surface gravity that's uniform. If it's not round, you won't have a constant surface gravity that's uniform.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to these buildings. Is that what they are? Are they buildings, or is this a machine, or what is it?
All of the above. All of
the
above.
Who built it?
Well, you know, I don't like to talk about ETs because you're either going to be introduced to them or you're not going to survive. So it's a moot issue. They don't talk about me. I don't talk about them.
Okay, so ETs, but obviously it's got to be like, the upper echelon of ETs that can do this.
They're pretty close to spiritual technology.
And you don't want to meet them? Is that what you said?
No, I don't talk about them. You know, I've stayed away from discussing ETs.
Why?
Simply because if they want you to know about them, they'll introduce themselves to you.
Well, they got their snapshot taken here almost. I mean, if this is their stuff, it's on the sun. And, if this is buildings of some kind, if it's machinery of some kind, then somebody built it and they got their snapshot taken.
Nothing would have to be that size unless it was functioning as a machine. But there are also living quarters, environment, so forth.
Could
and
these
they're as comfortable there as they would be anywhere else.
Could they get out and just stroll around on the sun?
They wear a suit made of the metal I've talked about.
Okay, so they do have to have some environmental protection.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're into spiritual technology, they don't, because they don't have a material form. They exist in an energy field, and that energy field is it can absorb as much energy as a star. The human spirit, you'll become someday, you could absorb the energy of a star.
I'm going to become a star.
probably not that, but you will have the capability of just tremendous energy.
All right, but the fact that these let's just assume that you're correct about this and that these are artificial structures.
Sure.
So let's assume that's correct. So there they said on the sun, spiritual beings would not need artificial structures, would they?
Well, no, they don't. I'm not saying that these are. I'm just saying that the people that built this complex are close to spiritual technology. But that if people that are into spiritual technology no longer have a farm like you and me, and they can live in the sun. They will go to the sun because without a star, they'll get cold. They're drawn eventually to stars, and there they can reach an energy level where they can enter EMVs. Something that you have to have a great deal of energy to be able to do. That's why they have the ability to draw on a great deal of energy. Of course, what people may have trouble understanding is that if you take energy with this helium-hydrogen exchange, you replace it at the same time.
Okay. Now, I think it was Jerome that called in and asked, I think he said, wasn't it Mr. Horak who said something about ETs coming and going through the sun, that's how they get here? And I've heard of the people say the sun is like a portal or a stargate, and that this is one of the ways that ET craft get into our solar system, is through that portal. Is that correct?
Sure. Well, we were talking about the solar anvil, and that's exactly what that is. It's for the best word to use for what it does is it provides portage from other systems that are very, very distant, in very, very large craft, to come here, because this is a preferred point of destination. We're on the outskirts of our galaxy, the Milky Way. So this is the stopping off point to all points west.
Well then, that fits with my next question. If the sun is like a portal or a stargate, it, maybe that is the passport control office, those buildings. Maybe that's where they have to check in and get permission to come on through.
Well, it's pretty open. I mean, you don't have to ask permission. If you have the technology and you have the refinement that it takes to have that technology, nobody's going to worry about you. And that solar anvil's there for anybody to use, except EBs.
Could we use it?
No.
Why?
Because you're savages.
James, what do you really think about us?
I think you could be glorious savages.
I think a great many of our species, I think a great many are savage. I think a great many of our species are incredibly stupid. And I think a great many of our species are insane. But yeah, there's some that are not. They're not savage, and they're not insane, and they're not stupid. I mean, so couldn't they get through?
Well, it's, you know, the sad thing about the way this sort of thing works is that you're not primed for star travel until you've reached a point where you've removed collective and individual aberrancy. Because if you have star travel technology, one person can hold in their hand the means to destroy a planet. So you have to be refined to a point where you put war and aggression behind you. Most of them, all the evils that you have are caused by some form of social and individual aberrancy. And, you know, the conditions are kept that way because they're suited to an elite that rules over you with an iron hand. And, you know, this, I can say this, that that is not a feature of any off-Earth civilization that has ever aspired to star travel technology. It, by definition, it can't. You destroy yourself before you get there.
James, can you stay with us here for a little while?
Sure.
I know, you know, we didn't prearrange, you know, for you to be my guest or something like that, but if you have the time, could you stay with us for a little bit?
Sure, I can. Yeah.
And folks, kind of on impromptu basis, my guest is now James Horak. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call, and we'll let you talk to him too. But I really want to know what you think about these photographs. I mean, I'm astounded. I guess it doesn't show, but I am totally astounded by these photographs that show what looks like some kind of structure on the sun. Structures. Looks like big buildings. And James pointed out these are larger than Earth. This is way phenomenal. But at the same time, there may be someone out there who has a legitimate scientific explanation for what we are looking at. And if you do, I want to hear that too. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And the flash message option is open. Let me just check it quickly. No flash messages as yet. But if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, feel free to use the flash message option if you wish, or you may call us. 623-444-5889. Imagine, folks, imagine what it would take to have something that could be there and not melt. The surface temperature of the sun is about 1,400 degrees Celsius. 1,400 degrees Celsius. That's a lot. Now, let me give you an example for those of you who don't know, you're not familiar with Celsius, if you're familiar with Fahrenheit. 40 degrees Celsius is 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay? So the temperature on the sun, they tell us, is about 1,400 degrees Celsius. Imagine the material that it would take to withstand that. And what about, James, the gravity? I mean, the sun has a tremendous gravity. How could these people even stand up?
Well, they're protected by in their environment. And the suit is made of a metal that I've talked about before that allows it can be it can develop a field that'll protect it. You can set it for any environment you want, and it can be very, very thin, very, very light, and it passes off heat as fast as it picks it up. It has a internal heat coefficient of zero. Now, this metal can be made, but, you know, what allows you to create this field, I wouldn't share with anybody on this planet, but I did explain how this metal could be made under conditions today because the computers exist that can control the furnace habitat or the furnace environment well enough that it can be done. Now, whenever I first wrote this as a kind of prologue to a paper I was writing on the theory of the fusion of metal or metals, I described exactly how to do this. And it couldn't have been done then. It was in the 60s, but it can be done today. And to some extent, they have some applications of it, but they don't follow my directions. I guess they don't think it'd work or something. I don't know. But they can make, you can make a metal with an internal heat coefficient of zero with this.
All right,
recipe.
Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, I hope you don't mind. This is Brent from Wyoming again.
Brent, I don't mind because we have James Horak on the phone with us, or on the line with us now. And you recommended that we get him, so go ahead.
All right, James, here's a question for you. The energy that we experience, I am pretty sure it does not exist. It comes from somewhere. A universe is a closed system, cannot lose or gain energy. The energy is constant. But we can only experience one three-dimensional aspect of this universe. Are there other dimensions that the energy we experience come from?
The problem is dealt with much simpler than that. after you require more to accommodate fledgling civilizations and growth of different kinds, and to study variation, which is the mind of the universe's obsession, you simply reduce everything in size.
Okay. But, so the energy is, okay.
But how do we know the energy is constant?
Well, it's what they base their idea of parametering the universe over or with. Whether it's true or not, I won't say. But, they like to deal in absolutes, and, of course, every time that they put forth an absolute, it's about 20 years before it's proven to be false. Just like every theory and every principle that they devise, there are conditions that will change them and are places where they just simply won't apply.
Brent, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Are you sure that energy is a constant and is neither created nor destroyed, but simply converted?
In a closed system, you can neither create nor destroy energy. You can only change form.
By
the
definition.
Universe is a closed system.
But can you have a closed system in the universe?
That's my question.
How many dimensions are there within the universe? Because I'm talking about the totality of creation. The totality of creation.
And how many
is a
dimensions can you have at once?
What?
And how many dimensions can you have at once?
Who knows?
See, I'm not saying that the universe is not a closed system. But I don't know that to be a fact.
And I don't either, but that's the assumption I'm making.
Well, and this is, they say, this is one of the laws of physics. And this is what I'm talking about when I say, if there are laws of physics, we certainly don't know them. What we have that we call laws of physics are just descriptions of our observations. Since it is us observing, it's guaranteed to be flawed.
That's right.
And so I'm wondering, don't go yet, unless you absolutely have to. What I'm wondering is, and this is a good chance for you and me to gang up on James Horak. You ready? Here we go. What I'm wondering is it possible that the universe is getting fed a constant infusion of new energy, and if so, from where?
That would be the question. Where would it come from? If it's coming from somewhere, it's part of creation, in my opinion.
Okay, James, your shot.
Well, I think there are many, many clues to the flaws in trying to define or build a parameter around the universe. I think mm-hmm. the universe is as organic as anything in it. And I think it has a mind, and I think it decidedly despises redundancy because of the way it behaves. And I think that there is an intelligence that has put things in motion that even technologies that have reached super consciousness and super thought can't conceive of the designer of planets and stars, and it goes that beyond imagination of anyone. And I think that certainly I think that I believe that there is a prime thinker. You can call him God or her God or however you want to look at it. It's not important. But that there is design, and I don't think anything that's working in the universe is by accident.
All right, we have to take a break. Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep, goodbye.
Bye. All right, hang in there with us, James. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this break.
Stranger of me. Hey,
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, where we are having a discussion this evening about the sun. I have a flash message from Glenn in New Zealand. Glenn, hang on. We're going to get to that in just a moment. We have on the line with us James Horak. And, James, we have a caller. So let's go to the telephone. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania again.
All right.
Mr. Horak, I see what you're saying, that a highly advanced civilization would be able to have these materials that would be able to survive on the surface of the sun. But that implies that they're physical beings and not just purely spiritual beings. Is that correct?
That's correct. I think they're spiritual beings there, too. I've seen them there, and that's all. But of course, spiritual beings won't have anything to do with mortals, and so you know they wouldn't reply to me or indicate that I was even around.
You've been on the sun?
Yep, I've been in EMVs. I have to go now. That I'm not in a shell of this. I'm in an energy field. But I've been on the sun. I've been in an EMVs, and before I go in an EMV, I have to lay in the sun for about a month and a half.
When you say you have to lay in the sun, what do you mean?
Draw energy.
But I mean, are you on the sun when you do that, or are you on Earth just laying out in the sun?
I'm in the sun.
Okay, so how do you get this energy field around you?
Well, my mind and soul have come together, and it's like you when you die, you'll do the same thing, and I can use it as a vehicle and travel, and so if I go to the sun to recharge, and I'll have to, before I can go in an EMV, I'll have to lay in the sun to charge up. Now, if I go to charge so that I can have a extra amount of energy while I'm here, I can do that too. But I haven't done that in a long time, so weak.
Jerome, you have another question?
Yes. Boy, first of all, let me comment that that was an incredible revelation there, and I got to absorb that. But you mentioned that you told the people of Earth how to fuse metals. Do you regret doing that?
No, I would have regretted if I hadn't destroyed the rest of it, though, because when I did this, I just gotten out of the Navy. And I was in a Navy hospital, a warehouse, and so I didn't have much to do. I had an inpatient job as assistant registrar, and so I started writing this, and I started rewriting it until I got it right, and finally, after I had read enough of the patient's files to realize how screwed up things were, I destroyed most of it, but I did keep that prelude or introduction or preamble or whatever you want to call it, and in that I lay out exactly how to make this metal. Now the metal, I don't put in a part of it that would allow you to ionize the metal so that you could use it in craft and maintain an environment of your choice wherever you go.
Well, thank you for staying online and being a guest. And thank you, Kevin, for taking my call again.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Let's get to a flash message from New Zealand from Glenn. It's a little wordy, so it's a little bit long, so let me sort of paraphrase it. Glenn says that he's been listening to the show for a long time, and that I have presented a lot of topics and guests that at first blush seem to be rather bizarre. But this takes the cake for being the most bizarre thing I've ever presented. And he says he's not sure that he's buying it. Neither am I, Glenn, and I agree with you. This is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. And the word flabbergasted doesn't even begin to describe my reaction to these photographs. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin James. This is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello, Rusty.
Oh. Hi, James. I want to go back to something you said about... Now, first off, I think there probably are structures on the sun myself. I kind of think there may be structures on every planet or, you know, if it has energy to support life. But you said something about the technology that they have is there, and then they like step into spiritual technology. So are you saying that the spiritual is like the end step?
Well, there are entire cultures that decide they want to stay together. They know that what the EMVs are, but they don't want to lose what they have. So they develop the steps that are needed to have spiritual technology. And at a certain point, they give up the physical aspect and take on the spirit, which is where the mind and soul come together and exist within a field. And this is spirit.
I think his question though was, is that like the end step in evolving upward?
No, it's something unique. There's maybe one out of 1,000 cultures that even think about it. And I'm talking about ET cultures that have advanced past star travel, usually becoming a part of an extended community. But these people, the people that made the EBs, they did this. The people that were on Mars at the time that your ancestors came in the system, they did this. And that's why they're no longer there. They see a certain redundancy to surviving as mortal. They get to that point. Now, with the Abroid who created the EBs, they were spectacular. They were even more so than the Druze should helped you, so that you, after you screwed up things on Mars, you could come to Earth. You couldn't
screw it up here.
Yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. You know, seventh time this time, seventh go around, and it's an incredible thing that I've never been able to follow them after they go into this spiritual technology, because they don't have a damn thing to do with anybody else. I mean, maybe they do other people that have gone into spiritual technology. I don't know. I have no idea. I'd love to know. That's been one thing that I've thought about a lot.
Okay, and do you think there are people living inside the sun?
Yeah. Oh, sure. I think that there. I think there. The those that I've seen. I think they're the people that are into spiritual technology as a culture, and I think they have an outpost there. in every star. I think that they are part of the process. I think they, just like EMVs that house spirits, are part of the process of the universe. And I think that these, at a higher level, we have something here. Maybe even these people make up the mind of God. I don't know. I can't even guess.
Okay. And then, you know, like Antarctica has, they say it, you know, it's all cold, and then it has a spot so many miles where it's nice weather in it. Is that possible? That's,
oh, yeah,
maybe
they have a tropical valley.
Spot,
and that's the base of the blondes that have kept a base here on Earth, because this is their home.
Yeah, but I think he was using Antarctica as an example, and you had a
metaphor,
question.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so is there something like that on the sun, a spot where it's not like the sun?
If you have the right technology, and including this metal and a way of ionizing it and so forth, doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter where you are. The only problem you might ever have is with antimatter. You just stay away from antimatter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. That's all I had.
All right. Thanks. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And I want to sort of go back to Glenn in New Zealand for just a moment. Glenn, you know, look, man, first of all, nobody's trying to get you to buy anything here, okay? I'm just presenting information. And this is information that has me baffled. It has me flabbergasted and beyond. And, I mean, just the idea that there could be buildings of some kind, structures of some kind on our sun, blows me the freak away. It's, I don't know what to think about this. Now, I've invited those of you who are photographic experts, you know something about digital photographing or photography, and these high-end cameras that are on Soho and that sort of thing. I've invited you, if you have an explanation for how the camera could come up with that and it not really be there, in other words, an artifact in the camera, I've invited you to call in and talk to me and tell me. And the invitation still holds. So far, you have not found the courage to dial your phone, or you can't explain this either. One or the other.
Kevin?
Uh-huh.
See if you can get somebody to even try to offer an explanation of why planets and stars are round.
Well, I know exactly why. Because they're not square.
Well, I guess I should put it this way. How do they become spherical?
How do they become spherical? Yeah, and by the way, you know, Dr. Brooks Agnew has said on this show that if physics operates anything like we think it does, then physics demands that a spinning object that's spherical in space has to be hollow. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, discussing this evening bizarre, absolutely incredibly bizarre photographs of the sun. And by the way, we are on final approach. We only have a few minutes left, so if you are planning on calling in, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Pick it up, dial right now, or you're going to run out of time. On the line with me is James Horak, not originally my guest for this evening's show, but suggested during the first two calls, and we got in touch with him, and he has agreed to stay on with us and has shared some pretty amazing and, I might add, bizarre information about the sun and people that live there. Yeah, you heard me right. James, you did say that, right?
Well, yes. but, you know, there's so many things that are left hanging. And we know that astrophysicists and astronomers on this planet are constrained. So even what they know, we are not shared with you and me. And you've talked about extra planets that exist. They're probably even named. Somewhere in some files, they probably have a great deal of knowledge about these four extra planets.
I had a guest on the other night who said there are really 66 planets in our solar system.
Well, you know, there again, they've started trying to take them away. You look at poor Pluto.
Yeah.
So you know, they just wave a magic wand, decide whatever definition they want to apply to whatever a planet is, or you know. But as far as I'm concerned, a planet is a body, an astral body that has a scheduled or predictable orbit around a star. So if you want to get away from that, then, you know, I don't think that you're scientific at all. I think that you're full of hogwash. I don't think that by definition that you can have a body traveling errantly, you know, or in the neighborhood of a star, having any kind of pattern to its movements with respect to a star, may not fall into an orbit like Earth has around our sun. I just don't think that that exists. Now, I will say that there are parts of this universe where things like that could exist, but not in our galaxy.
The person who said this, I believe. Now, here's a caveat. I'm not sure that I'm remembering correctly, but I believe he said that they're all inhabited, all 66. I know that John Lear has been on this program. He said that, and this was two or three years ago, he said that there are some 40 planets in the solar system and that they are all inhabited. So what do you say?
Well, I would say not as a long-time condition, but there are bodies where habitats, large habitats, that come through and go elsewhere or stay for a while. Because, like I said, all of these structures have substructures. They all start out as artificial. So, you know, it's a matter of what you want to apply the term planet to. Is it something that...
So is the Earth artificial?
Yes. Yes, it's artificial.
See, I don't have a lot of problem with the moon being artificial, because I've seen photographs where you can see it's steel girders or whatever, steel or titanium or whatever. You can see them.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
But Earth,
sure,
is artificial?
Yeah.
Do we dig down deep enough, we run into girders?
Well, you have different kinds of substructure. When the Earth came into being, it kind of looked like, the substructure looked kind of like a geodesic dome. Over a period of time, though, due to various stresses and misuses and environmental tortures that were applied to it, it is no longer uniform and is held together by the help of EMVs that have an operation in Utah, that if they left that operation, your Earth would suffer major catastrophes.
Well, it suffers some major catastrophes now.
Yeah, most of them are with the help of an errant technology. Run a renegated errant technology.
And who's responsible for that?
Corporations and the military and...
Okay, so you're talking about us messing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. HAARP. The blunders like... trying to destabilize the New Madrid fault zone. Mm-hmm. Just madness. When we began these underground nuclear tests, they said it was for different reasons, like for prospecting for oil and water and so forth. The real reason, however, was to determine how radically they could alter plate tectonic pattern. And if they could create episodes of uplift similar to what created the Rocky Mountains. So,
yeah, I would have to say that's madness.
It is, you know, absolute madness.
Doing something like that just to see if you can, and you don't really know what the results would be.
Well, they do. They do. They know what the results of creating radical weather changes like tidal waves and tsunamis. They know that this creates earthquakes. What creates uplift is additional weight of eroded material down on the seashores, pressing down on the plates. Well, water can do the same thing. If it is displaced in enormous amounts very quickly, it can do the same thing. And they have finally admitted that that these radical weather changes due to HAARP are creating earthquakes. And some earthquakes create tsunami. It's a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to stop it, like they need to stop chemtrails. Chemtrails are creating white light. And that is leading to killing vegetation and a number of other things.
Well, that is leading to the end of the show. We only have a few seconds left. Thanks for being my guest, even though you weren't my guest, but you were my guest. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right. And I want to thank Brent and Jerome for suggesting that, you know, we try to get in touch with Mr. Horak, and we did, and I'm very glad we did. Very interesting. This whole show has been bizarre from start to finish. The topic itself is bizarre. And like I said, I don't know what to think about it. I offered you scientists the opportunity to call in, and you didn't. So maybe it's something you just can't explain. Well, that's okay. If you can't explain it in a very genuine manner, it's better just to leave it alone, because when you make up stuff, we catch you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you wish to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.